Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of From the Lions Cove podcast. I'm your host, Marcelo, and two very special things today. One, well, three, actually. One, I grew out the mustache a little bit, yes, so I put out a poll yesterday, and people liked it, so I might keep it. Who knows? If you like it, comment down below. The second thing, we got a brand new banner. Looks pretty good. Shout out to CVS. And last, we got my man, Mike Dorn.
What's going Mike, on?
This we have been playing this for probably like three or four weeks now, yeah. And I'm very glad that, I'm glad that Mike has been able to hop on the podcast, finally got done with finals. We're all set, but yeah, I'm very excited to have you on this show, man.
Oh yeah, I'm pumped. Excited, FTLC, baby.
It's going to be awesome. So to give Mike a proper intro, he was a 2022-23 all academic OAC. Mike, he's from Pennsylvania, eventually made his way here to John Carroll to play football. He's a defensive lineman. Senior, will be graduating soon, so it's pretty crazy. For the 2024 season, Mike had two tackles against Ohio Northern, and his stats, he's increased his games played, which is very good, as well as tackles and all of that good stuff. So Mike has definitely made great improvement throughout his career, and it's been awesome to be a part of it. So he was also in a news article when he committed to John Carroll, which is pretty awesome. I mean, I know a lot of people, like a lot of my friends, they didn't have articles about them. So that's a pretty big accomplishment for sure.
Yeah, a little local newspaper plugger.
Yeah. So the first question is, how did you get started with football and what sparked your passion for the game?
Yeah, so I would say, like, unlike a lot of guys on the team, like, I didn't play football when I was young. Like, a lot of my buddies haven't ended up playing since, like, they were 5, 6, 7 years old. I didn't actually start until middle school, until 7th grade. And my buddy, who I was in, like, homeroom with, was like, dude, you should play football. Like, come on. Like, you're a big dude. Like, you'll play. And so I was like, okay, I'll go to the meeting or whatever. Went, signed up, went through the whole summer thing and just kind of fell in love with it. And, like, it also did help that at NA we split up into three middle schools. So a lot of my buddies from elementary school went to a different middle school.
Yeah.
And we had a merged team, so I got to play with, like, a lot of my buddies from middle school and elementary school, so that kind of, like, you know, I just fell in love with it and got to hang out with them every day and play football, so it was a good time.
Wow. So did you play any other sports growing up, and how did those experiences influence your football career?
Yeah, so I played baseball, basketball, and football all through middle school. I would say basketball is probably the one that impacted football the most in terms of, like, being similar, because, like, baseball is kind of, like, a very, specific skill set, and I ended up giving up baseball going in 9th grade because I just didn't have the time to put into it,
yeah,
as compared with football, because football was very demanding in the summer, and so I was just kind of falling behind the curve, and I also was terrible in the field. Terrible glove, pretty good bat, but so I hung up the cleats with baseball, and then I played hoops all the way until my junior year, and that was just fun. Like, again, got to play with all my buddies on the AAU team, play for the school. I was just kind of, you know, the short center, gritty rebounder, played a lot of defense, used all my fouls every game. So, but it was fun, you know, kept you in shape in the off season, and it was just a good time all around. So I would just say it was just great to be able to do all that. So
yeah, so on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate your jump shot?
Well, I will say this. A kid I played basketball and football with, Caleb Dinkins, he plays at Penn State. He's a tight end now.
Okay.
And he was the center who was ahead of me, so there was no way I was playing over. Dude was dunking when we were in, like, 9th grade.
Wow.
So they were like, yeah, Dorn, you know, we like how you play defense and rebound, so we're thinking about moving you out to the wing. So I was working on the jump shot a little bit, but I would say I'm my best, like a 5 out of 10.
All right.
From deep, probably like 30%.
Hey.
30% on wide open corner threes.
Hey, some like linemen can like actually like hoot.
I've seen a lot of like, especially like tight ends and offensive tackles. Like when they play basketball in like high school, they're just dominant because they're huge dudes. They're all 6'6" and just dunking on dudes. It's crazy.
Yeah, like former Saints tight end Jimmy Graham was a beast in college.
Some of the tight ends end up playing college hoops because it's like a lot of the tight ends now too, like the basketball skill sets all there because like the rebounding and everything like that helps them a lot, so I think it's pretty cool.
Wow. So tell me about your high school football experience. What positions did you play and what were some of like your standout moments?
All right, well, for everyone that doesn't know, I went to North Allegheny, so when I say NA, that's what I'm referring to. It's in a little bit north of Pittsburgh. It's Wexford where the high school is. But yeah, so I played both ways my senior year. My junior year, I actually just played offensive line.
Okay.
So, I mean, it was just great. I mean, I got to play with all my buddies. Pretty much all my friends played, a lot of us both ways. So that was really fun. But, I mean, I was probably a better offensive lineman than I was a defensive lineman, but I enjoyed D-line more, so that's what I wanted to do in college. But, you know, I would say, like, the best moment from that was my senior year. We hadn't made it past the second round of the playoffs since – I want to say I was either in middle school or before that.
Yeah.
And so we got to go to the championship. And for those of you that don't know how Pennsylvania state playoffs work, it's not like Ohio where like everyone gets put into a state bracket right away.
Yeah.
You have to win your district, then you go to the state bracket.
Wow.
Yeah. So we hadn't gone to like the championship for our district in a lot of years. So my class got to do that. It was fun. We were supposed to play at Heinz Field, but they actually couldn't because of COVID.
We
had to play at another stadium, but it was still fun. We ended up losing that game, but it was pretty cool.
Wow. So, I mean, overall, you had great, like, experiences. I mean, throughout your time in high school, did you play against any, D1, Big Ten, like, school players? Or?
Well, we played a lot of, like, top-tier talent like that. So when we played Central Catholic, which is probably, like, our biggest rival now in our district.
Yeah.
When I played them my junior year, they had 4 D linemen that were 3 stars and above. So one of them, his name is AJ Beatty. He went to UNC, I want to say, out of high school. They ended up moving him to center. He was a 3-star or 4-star, I want to say. Elliot Donald, who was playing at Pitt and now in the transfer portal, he was a 4-star. And then these 2 twin brothers, I can't remember, it was like Amir and Amar Allen, I want to say. But they ended up going to a JUCO. I don't know where they are now. But and then also, when we played Mount Lebanon, they had a dude named JB Nelson,
okay,
who went to a JUCO, and now I don't know if he's still at Penn State, but I think he's still at Penn State.
Wow.
Offensive lineman. He was incredible. And then on my team, I had Cole Dinkins, who's a tight end at Penn State, Nate Hoke, who is playing at BYU. Those were in my class. And then junior year, I played with a bunch of dudes who went Ivy League, and played with 2 dudes who went to Ivy League, another dude who went to Lehigh, and then my sophomore year, Nate Hoke's older brother, Cade, went to BYU, and there was a few other guys in that class. But the year before I got up there, we had a D lineman who had offers from, like, Alabama. He ended up going to Notre Dame, Josh Lugg. He was on a few 52-mans. Oh, and then sophomore year I also played with Joey Porter. So
what?
Yeah, he was on the roster, yeah.
No way.
I wasn't playing because I was a sophomore, but, yeah, he played for us, and obviously went to Penn State, got drafted by the Steelers, so it was pretty cool, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Dude, that is awesome. You had crazy talent.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm forgetting more guys from other schools. Like, I know Cannon Mack, they had a dude that went to Navy. Or, no, he went to Air Force. Trying to think where else. I feel like every school in our area had at least 1 or 2 guys going to, like, a big D1 school, though, so that's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I'm sure just being around, like, all that talent, I mean, you can definitely just see how, like, special and, like, gifted, like, they were.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's kind of funny because, like, in high school, you compete against these guys, and you know, being in high school, you don't really know. You're like, oh, like, I can play these big-time programs. Like,
yeah,
you know, I'm competing with them. We beat that team, blah, blah, blah. And then they get to college, and you see what happens to these guys, like, with their just, like, their potential, like, you know, putting on weight, and their speed goes through the roof, and they just become absolute dogs. Like, you know Jack Sawyer, the DM?
Yes, yeah.
We were supposed to play him our senior year, but we couldn't because of COVID. But, like, we were watching this film. We're like, oh, we'll take this guy all day. We'll beat him. And then, you know, he's at Ohio State playing crazy. Yeah. So it's starting the end. So it's pretty cool.
Wow. See, I'm still shocked about, like, that, like, bracket thing, because that's insane. Because I know with, like, our, like, high school basketball, like, even, like, the not-so-good teams still made the playoffs. Like, everyone made
playoffs. In Pennsylvania, it's just a little different. So we have, I think there's, I don't remember how many districts there are, but we're District 7. So you have to win your district to go to states. So, like, it gets broken up into two, but it's really like the same thing. So, okay. In our district, there'd probably be, like, six teams that make the playoffs, and then one goes on to state playoffs, but state playoffs are much shorter, so.
Yeah, because we had a ton of teams. Like, we had, like, a huge bracket.
Well, I remember when I got here, guys would be like, oh, yeah, like, they're, like, 7-3, they're going to make the state playoffs. I was like, what? And then they, like, explained to me how it works, so. Yeah, it's pretty. I think that's just a good way to do it, because then it's like, oh, you win your region, well, you go on. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, this is a great start to the next question. What was it like playing high school sports in PA, and how do you think the competition compared to what you've seen in like Ohio?
Well, I can really only speak to Pittsburgh mostly, but I would say like in terms of football culture, Northeast Ohio and Pittsburgh are very similar in terms of like football is like the sport. Like you know, Friday night stadiums are packed, tons of talent comes out of the area. And I would say, like, you look at teams that are – because it's flipped in PA. So 6A is the biggest, whereas, like, D1's the biggest in Ohio. I would say, like, you look at Division I teams in Ohio and 6A teams in, like, Pennsylvania in general, but and it's very comparable in terms of talent level.
Yeah.
Now, I will say in Ohio, there's a lot more private school teams. So, like, you know, like, Ed's, Hoban, right? They're in, like – There's, like, a lot more private school teams. In PA, in 6A, there's really, like – Central Catholic and St. Joe's, which is in Philly, which like that's where Marvin Harrison Jr. went.
Yeah,
that's where I think Kyle McCord went there. Like a bunch, they had like two or three Ohio State guys in my class that went there. That's really the only team to come out of Philly, and there's like a few other public school teams that are solid. But in Ohio overall, there's a lot more private school teams. And I would say it's also more spread out. Like I know like Toledo Central Catholic is very good.
Yeah,
there's a lot of teams from Columbus that are good. Whereas like in PA, it's really just like Pittsburgh, Philly. And then, like, there's usually, like, one or two good teams that come out of Erie and Harrisburg, but mostly it's, like, just concentrated in those two areas. But I would say it's very comparable. I mean, like, you always joke around with the guys on the team, like, oh, you Cleveland guys won last a minute in Pittsburgh and like, vice versa. But I would say in, like, terms of talent level and, like, you know, kind of emphasis on football in the area, it's very similar.
Wow. Awesome. I mean, hey, that's like, great just, like, seeing kind of, like, both sides because, I mean, I didn't play football, but, I mean, it's just great just to, I guess – learn more about it.
Yeah, well, it's crazy because, like, especially I'm sure a lot of the guys from Northeast Ohio get the same thing. Like, you know, you go to a high school game, you don't really think about it, but there's, you know, 4,000 plus people there. It's like, oh, you know, it's like a normal game for us. And then you, like, realize how many people that is when you get to, like, the college level, especially, like, you know, Division III, there's just less fans there in terms of, like, you know, it's mostly families and friends and people in the local area, and you realize how cool it is when you get to play in front of that many people.
So, right.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what was the recruiting process like for you, and what ultimately led you to choose John Carroll University?
Well, so recruiting during, like, because it was COVID year, it was really strange. Like,
yeah.
So, like, obviously, you know, same process in terms of, like, coaches reaching out and coming to visit you and stuff like that, but there was like, there's no, because our whole junior year, there was no visits going on. So like my junior year, I remember right before COVID happened, I was talking to the Yale coach. It was actually kind of funny story. They called me out of math class. I was like, ah, crap, I'm in trouble. I called out my coach's office. I'm like, what'd I do? And the Yale coach was there and he's like, oh yeah, what's your GPA? And I tell him and he's like, oh, we're gonna have to work on that. And I was like, what? So, but that was more just like an early thing. They didn't really get, like, talk to me much after that. But, like, you know, there was, you playing like visits and junior days and camps and all that, and then COVID happens and none of that happens, and you end up jumping on like Zoom calls with coaches,
yeah,
and stuff like that. But it kind of narrowed down in terms of like schools. There's really three schools I was looking at, or that I visited, I should say. It was John Carroll, W&J, and Grove City.
Okay.
Who actually all of us made the playoffs this year for like the first time in forever. But
wow.
So W&J is in Washington. It's like pretty close to where I'm from, but I just didn't like the campus there. And I went to Grove City, and I like the coaches and everything, but it just wasn't my vibe. It's a very like religious school.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. You know, right. It just wasn't, you know, a little more calm than some other colleges.
Right.
So it just wasn't a great fit. But then when I visited here, like this is actually the first place I visited. And I kind of knew right away, like, yeah, I want to go here, but I give the other colleges a chance. But yeah, it was cool. I mean, you know, you're like, it's kind of funny, like you're a junior in high school and you're getting these letters like in the mail from like D3 schools that you never really even like heard of or thought about. And you're like, oh, like, you know, I don't know. And then you go on a visit and you meet the coaches and go around the school, and then you're like, yep, like that's where I want to go. So it was pretty interesting, but I would say it's definitely cool. Like for young, like when you're 16, 17, you're getting letters from coaches, you're getting texts, you're getting calls, and like, it's just a good time. It's fun. So
yeah, no, that is definitely like awesome. Definitely glad that you chose John Carroll for sure. Yeah. But it's crazy that like you mentioned that because I would receive like handwritten notes.
Yeah, and you're like, I can't believe these coaches are doing that for a kid that like they haven't even met.
Yeah,
you know, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's awesome. Like I know like the one school was from Florida and they sent it in the mail like to my house. I'd open it and it'd be like, Marcelo, like hopefully you're having a great week. I'm like, man, like this is awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. And like I had a few buddies that like didn't decide to play college football and they kind of went through the same process. And it's just kind of cool to go through. Like, you're like, oh, you know, like I could play at like the college level or like some school. So it's pretty interesting. Yeah.
Right. So this past season was kind of a standout year for JCU for football. I mean, you guys had a great year. So what do you think contributed to the team's success and what was your favorite moment from the season?
I mean, I would say like what contributed to the team's success. I would say like this year compared to other years, there was a lot of it's kind of corny to say like brotherhood, but like I would say everyone on the team was just good friends with each other. Like, yeah. I wouldn't say there was a lot of like, you know, bickering going on in the locker room. Everyone was just kind of, you know, hanging out, having a good time. We were a pretty close team. Like even the guys that you don't talk to a lot, like, you know, guys.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Position groups are guys that just don't see that often. You know, you're friendly with them, you're talking with them. I think that goes a long way because if you're not, then as soon as one group does something bad or the other group does something bad, they're at each other's throats. And I think that was something that happened a little bit more like when I was here at the beginning of the year, but this year, or not the beginning of the year, the beginning of my college career, but you know, kind of this year, I thought everyone was a lot more friendly. And I think it was just, you know, we kind of just played well in the games we needed to. So it worked out, especially with the expanded playoff too. It made things a little more interesting because obviously we hadn't beat Mount game one. And usually that would have been our season because it would have been, we're second place in the OAC, you know, chances are we won't get an at-large bid, but now that they expanded it, there's a lot more opportunity for it. So it was cool.
Wow. Talk about a little bit of like your progression from like your freshman year to like your senior year.
Yeah. I would say like the main thing is like your freshman year, you come in and you're just like, you're kind of like, not anxious is the word, but you're like excited to get started and you don't really know where everything falls into place. Like you don't know anyone that's on the team. You don't know anyone that's playing and you kind of just come in and you're kind of figuring it out. And I think that's honestly like some of the most fun you'll have in college because you have like very little responsibility. You have nothing going on in college. You're just hanging out with your friends. Like freshman year, you know, especially for the guys that aren't like dressing or playing, you know, you're going, you're hanging out with your buddies on Friday and Saturdays. It's a good time. But then like sophomore, junior year, you kind of get more serious about it, like you want to play more. I think like sophomore year is honestly like that was my favorite year of college. I think we were talking about this with a few of the other guys and we were like, hey, sophomore year was awesome. Like it was like just like school football, we all get to hang out, it was a good time. And like then as you get older, like you get into junior senior year and like you don't even realize it because I wasn't a guy that played a lot, like, you know, I'll be the first to admit that, but but like whenever you get to junior and senior, you got these like guys that were freshmen when you were a sophomore, freshman when you were a junior, and they not necessarily like look up to you, but they kind of like, you're like the old guy to them.
Yeah.
You're like so like they're asking you questions and like, oh, what's this about? And you get to tell them. It's kind of fun, like, because like even guys that don't play, like you're just friends with them, and you know, I can't, like, you walk around campus, you see guys that are, you know, getting ready to take their freshman year stats final, and you could like mess with them and stuff like that while you're about to graduate. So it's cool. It's very cool, man.
Yeah, and also cool. Like, I mean, it's cool because they like look up to you as like a mentor, even like kind of as an older brother, just like, you know, kind of asking for advice, I'm sure, and what like direction to go, what classes to take.
Exactly. Well, yeah, and it's funny because like you don't really look back on it until like you start to realize it, but like, when you're a freshman, you're asking older guys, like, oh, like, do you know this professor? Or like, oh, what do we, like, what should we do this day? Or that kind of thing. Like, how should we, like, approach practice and lifts and that kind of thing. And then, like, you kind of do it like without noticing, but you're like telling the same thing to the new young guys.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. It's funny. Like you find yourself like, you're like, oh my God, like I'm an old man. You know, you get to your senior year and these young guys are out there and you're like, geez, I can't believe that.
Yeah. Like Unk.
Yeah, exactly. Unk. Yeah. They start calling you Unk. You're like, what?
Wow.
Yeah, but... I can't even drink a beer yet. I just turned 21. I can barely go to the flat. So call me Unk. Are you kidding me?
What's cool is that, you know, you kind of mentioned that you start off just kind of like by yourself. Don't really know a whole lot of people on the team, but then now that you're a senior, I mean, I'm sure that brotherhood is just super strong.
Well, yeah, and like you come here, and like I was lucky enough to come here with two, like my best friends from high school, Brady and Bennett. So like,
yeah.
I already had, you know, two very close friends when I got here, and then you get here and you meet, you know, the guys on the team, and you make all these new friends, and it's kind of like it just kind of evolves over time, and like you end up living with them and studying with them for, you know, everything. So it's pretty cool, yeah.
Wow, awesome. So how do you mentally and physically prepare for game day? And do you have any pregame rituals or superstitions?
I would say mentally, you know, it's just kind of like coaches always talk about just kind of being prepared to like do what you need to do. Whether like some people, you know, like they just like to chill out. Like that was always me and my buddies. Like we would always hang out Friday nights, watch a movie, just kind of get off your feet, relax. Some guys, you know, they get super anxious and they're riled up and they just need to like, you know, do that whole thing. That yeah. was never me, but you know, so mentally it's just kind of do what you need to do to stay focused. But
yeah.
then you get to game day and like, you know, some people again, super anxious or super you know, wound up, and then other guys are just kind of hanging out. But I would say like in terms of like superstitions, I'd say just like me and like a few of the guys on the D line, we'd always go and just stretch out on the field before the game, like before all we got right. dressed and everything. And it's just kind of nice. You just sit there, talk about it, like see what's going on. It just kind of mellows everyone out before the game a little bit. So
wow. So like, yeah. did you listen to any like pregame like music or anything like that?
Yeah.
Or?
Well, so there, there's like two types of guys. There's the guys that like to listen to music in the locker room. The guys that like their headphones. I was always a music in the locker room guy, so whatever was on, I was listening to, and I was just kind of, you know, going with it. But some guys, they got to put their headphones on. You know, they get their playlist going. So it's pretty interesting. Like, you get to see a lot of different guys, what they're doing before games. Like, I've seen guys go out there in, like, bare feet, and they're, like, on the field and stuff like that. Yeah, it's like, yeah, you see young guys doing all sorts of crazy stuff. But it's kind of cool, like, wow. you know, to see what everyone does and, like, what they do to get ready. So
yeah, so speaking of music, Spotify Wrapped, Apple Music Wrapped just came out. Who is your number one?
My number one artist was Zach Bryan.
Really?
Yeah, so I went on a big Zach Bryan kick. Like, so I went to a concert with my brother.
Really?
Yeah, so he was going to go with his girlfriend and his sister. His girlfriend's sister couldn't, or no, his girlfriend's sister and her friend, but her friend couldn't go.
Yeah.
He was like, you want to come? I was like, yeah, I'll come. Went to the concert, went on a big kick, like all spring and summer, listening to Zach Bryan. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where was that concert at?
That was in Pittsburgh. It was in PPG, PPG Paints, where the Penguins play. So yeah. It was indoor. It's kind of weird, because I've never been to an indoor country concert. But it was, yeah.
Wow. Awesome.
But he brought out like Steelers players, like Cam Hayward. It was pretty awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Plus, you know, I'm sure when he brought those guys out, the whole stadium was probably going crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was cool. Yeah, it was funny. Because, like, I'm used to, like, I've been to, like, Zach Brown band. Oh, my God, why am I forgetting his name? Kenny Chesney. And,
all right.
Trying to think. I feel like I've been to one more. But anyways, those are like outdoor concerts in the summer, so you know everyone's out there boozing, having a good time. But in the winter it's a little different. Like it was raining when we got through, we're like, oh God. We got in, it was so fun. So yeah.
Awesome. So as a defensive lineman, you don't always show up in the stat book at times, but your role is crucial to the team's success. So how do you view the importance of the D line, and what do you think it takes to make a real impact, even if it doesn't always, you know, show it?
Yeah, oh, I mean, D-line, like, there's no question about it. Like, I would say, like, the edge positions are a little different because they get a little more stats. But the inside guys, you know, they don't get a lot of love in the stat book. But I would say, you know, they're just as key to any part of, you know, your team, if not more important. Because especially when you're playing, like, a team with a good running offense, you need to have a D-line to stop that. Yeah. And if you have a D-line that can stop the run, make a team one-dimensional, it makes the game significantly easier for linebackers and DBs to not have to worry about that. But even when if you're playing a team that's a mainly passing team, they have a great quarterback, being able to get to the quarterback with only four guys, like, it's crucial, because then you can drop, you know, seven in the coverage and have good coverage all around.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, I don't think people realize it until, you know, you watch NFL or you watch, you know, college, and you see a team that, you know, either has, like, that one guy, like, you know, TJ Watt or Myles Garrett, or that has just a good D-line unit, like, how much it can affect a game and just kind of disrupt the offense and stop them from doing what they want to do. I don't know. I'd just say, like, you know, physicality for, like, up front, you know, it's really, you know, kind of hard, especially when you're a nose tackle. You've seen double teams all game. And I would say, like, if you got, you know, like, a group of guys that, you know, is going to get after it every play, it just makes it tough for the offense to operate, especially in, you know, when the weather gets a little worse at the end of the year, the teams can't, you know, put on an air show and they got to run the ball. that's when you got to get physical inside.
Right. Like I mean, speaking of D-line, Brian Brzee from the Saints blocked a game-winning field goal last week. Listen, the Saints should have smoked the Giants. But, I mean, the D-line is just so important because, I mean, if you make plays like that the whole game, you're stopping the run, it's just so important. And plus, you know, helps teams go, you know, three and outs, force turnovers, force fumbles, so.
Yeah, well, and you can, like, I mean, you can see on a lot of teams, like, if you go to watch the Steelers play any Sunday, you can see T.J. Watt making that impact. Like, I mean, if you watch his game against the Falcons, I mean, he had two strip sacks that got called back, and I think he totaled, like, without the penalties, three strip sacks or something like that.
That's insane.
And like, yeah, or like Myles Garrett. When Myles Garrett played the Steelers in the snow, I think he had two sacks, and it, like, just completely changed the game in terms of, like, D-line plays just crucial to a team, yeah.
Really? It's facts. So how do you approach being a leader on and off the field? Obviously, you're involved in, you know, programs like the Accounting Association and also on the football team. So what do you think makes a great leader in football and in life?
See, so football, I think, is a little different. Football, I feel like there's a couple types of leaders. There's, like, your rah-rah guys, your yellers and your screamers, and then there's your, you know, your kind of, like, I would say, like, your more friendly type of leaders, for lack of a better term, like, the guys that are your friends. And me, personally, I was always a guy that tried to be friendly, you know, like, because you never know what someone's going through. You know, they could be having a hard time in school. They could be having family issues. So I feel like it's just important to, you know, approach guys as friends and kind of be able to talk to them and, hey, what's up? You know, like, do you need anything? Like, can I help you? You know, what do you need right now? And then also, you know, you got to have your guys that are leaders by example and are going to push everyone to do their best. I think you need a good mesh of that on the football field, because that's when, you know, you have your two different types of guys you can go to for whatever you need. And, you know, that kind of balances each other out. But I think, like, in school specifically, like with the Accounting Association, like you said, I think it's really just about, you know, like, welcoming people in and just being friendly. Because, you know, especially with, like, freshmen and stuff like that, they're, you know, I mean, I remember when I started college, I didn't want to, like, it's not like you're scared, but, you know, you're kind of nervous, anxious, you don't want to make new friends. So, like, just being able to sit down and talk to people, show them that, you know, seniors aren't so much older than you that they can't even talk to you. Like, we remember being freshmen. We remember doing all that. Like, so it's good to just be able to, like, hang out with people. Like, when we had that social at the beginning of the year, there was eight of us that were upperclassmen, the rest were freshmen or something like that. And it was just kind of nice. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, like, I don't know, blah, 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 blah. And you can kind of give them advice. Like, oh, take this professor, don't take this one.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Tell them what to do. Or, like, give them, you know, your view on things. It's just kind of cool, and I think it kind of brings a lot of people together, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, you've definitely been doing a fantastic job. I mean, you know, with the Accounting Association, it's definitely been awesome this year.
Yeah.
It's definitely great being, you know, a part of that group, and also, too, with football. So.
Yeah, can't discount the other guys. Kovach, Nate Kovach, Mike Huss, Yanni, and, of course, Alyssa running the club, but – you know, they all do a great, they all contribute, and they probably do more than I do, honestly. But, yeah, just being able to do stuff that's cool for the Accounting Association, because it is a small major.
Yeah.
And so kind of having that community feeling, I think it really helps us, especially because when people go out to work, like, you know, you can say, oh, I got a good buddy that works over at this firm or at this firm. So I think it's really beneficial, yeah.
Right. So how has your time at JCU shaped you as a person beyond the game of football?
I would say, and I think it's just, like, more of a maturity thing in general. But, you know, my time at John Carroll's definitely made me a better person. You know, for my buddies that knew me when I was, you know, a young Thundercat coming out of high school, you know, I wasn't the best person. You're a teenager, you make bad choices. But, you know, you get to college and you kind of figure out that, like, you just got to be a good person in general, and that'll come back to you, you know, whether it's just being nice to people or doing the right thing, that kind of thing. But I would say college helps you realize that a lot, because it's not only relationships with, like, people in your class, but, you know, faculty and, you know, everyone that is contributing to what you're doing in college. And I think it's just, like, a very important lesson to learn that, like, you know, if you're nice to people or you help people out, it will come back around and it will help you out in the long run, whether it's now or in 10 years. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Like, I mean, the one thing I've learned here is that everything comes, like, full circle.
Definitely.
It's like, you know, if you do something good, it's going to come back around, like, to you. You know, the people that you meet all that stuff. I mean, it's so important. And also, like, the balance of everything, I'm sure, with like, school and like, football and, like, clubs and all of that. I mean, it's definitely prepared you for the real world.
Well, yeah, that's, like, another thing is time management, especially with playing a sport. Like, you know, you as soon as you start to do interviews and stuff like that, every question I go is, like, oh, how do you balance time? How do you balance time with football and school and all this? And I think it helps you learn a lot of that as well, which is just important. But, like, back to what you said about being full circle, like, you know, you might not think about it when you're a freshman, especially when you go to a small school, like, you know, my professors that I had for my freshman year classes and the people I took those classes with, I'm taking the same like classes with them now.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, you know, if you go in with, you know, an open mind and kind of, you know, go in there and just try to do your best, it will come around full circle and it will end up helping you in the future. So.
Right. 100% agree. So this is the question that you've been waiting for all podcast. So do you think the Steelers have what it takes to make a deep playoff run this year? Obviously, Russell Wilson has been a key add-on. I mean, he has been a beast this year. And I called it. I called it. I said in April, once he signed, I said he's going to lead this team to the bowl because everyone was hating on him. Everyone was saying he's trash, he's washed. I'm like,
Denver screwed him over.
Yeah, I'm like, listen, he's still got it. So what do you think they need to improve on or focus to make that happen?
I mean, they're playing good football right now. And I would say, like, obviously the defense is a huge part of that. But also our offense is just doing a good job of not turning the ball over. And I think to kind of go deep in the playoffs, you got to just keep running the ball, being able to keep the ball in your hands, and then keep playing good defense. Because ultimately when you get later in the year, like, that's what it comes down to, especially in the playoffs. You got a lot of one-possession games or games that, you know, one turnover can really turn the tide of that. And I think the Steelers do a good job of minimizing, giving the other team opportunities. And especially with the AFC North, like, it is the most physical division of football and one of the best. And, you know, so when you're playing, especially with our last eight games being Ravens twice, the Chiefs, the Eagles, Browns twice, and I think the Bengals twice as well, you know, it's a pretty rigorous schedule. But if they can just keep playing good defense and being able to control the game, then they're going to be 100% fine. I think it's going to be a big test. We got the Ravens, the Chiefs, and the Eagles.
Which is crazy.
In like 11 days, which is a crazy schedule. But I think that'll be a good test for the playoffs. Man, hopefully if everyone can just stay healthy, I think it'll be a deep playoff run for sure.
Yeah, I mean, like, the one player that's really, like, stood out to me is Najee Harris. He
leaps and bounds better than previous years, yeah.
Which, like, I know he's probably had, like, 1,000 yards in, like, the past, but, I mean, he's balling out this year.
Yeah, I think the big thing is, like, you have a quarterback like Russell Wilson that can throw the deep ball and kind of spread the defense out. So it's giving him the opportunity to be that physical runner and wear down defenses, whereas, like, last year with Kenny Pickett, or 2 years ago, that last year, 2 years ago, with Kenny Pickett.
I think last year.
Yeah, last year with Kenny Pickett, we could barely throw the ball. So, you know, Najee Harris is 100 guys on him every play. Whereas now you can spread it out a little more and get those running backs going, which I think is huge. And also, the Steelers' new center, he's a rookie. He's an absolute dog. I mean, it's like WrestleMania out there. He's throwing guys around every play. Yeah. So I think that helps a lot. But yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I said Steelers Saints. I don't know if the Saints will make it.
Listen,
we still have a chance.
But, hey, that's what you need.
But Derek Carr got hurt, so it's like, all right. And then I think Shaheed and Olave are out for the year. So
yeah, that's rough. I mean, I'm a little biased on the AFC side of things, but I think Steelers-Lions.
See, I actually want, like, the Lions to make it. I mean, they're
I love watching the Lions play.
They're a great
I love
team.
It. Yeah, and Dan Campbell's the man. I think he's the coolest guy.
Dude, even, like, Penei Sewell, like, took a pass. He, like, he was going to throw it.
Oh, yeah. And I think they do a good job of, like, balancing the run game in with everything, and as well using, like, their guys like Penei Sewell that can do crazy stuff. And, like, they were using their left tackle, Skipper.
Yeah.
He's an absolute giant dude. They were using it as a tight end and fullback early in the year. Like, it's cool. They play a really fun game of football, and it's just cool to watch.
Yeah.
And they also have their best – defensive player Hutchinson. He's been out for the whole year, and they're still playing. They're still, what, 10-1?
12-1.
Yeah.
So, if you had to pick your favorite Steelers player of all time, who would you pick?
That's a tough one. That's a really tough question. So, I would say when I was in, like, middle school, it's probably James Harrison. I absolutely love James Harrison.
Yeah.
He was just an absolute beast, and he just looked tough. I mean, he's just a giant dude.
Yeah.
And like, he was definitely my favorite player when I first, like, really started paying attention to Steelers, like, when I was in, like, middle school.
Yeah.
Because, like, obviously we won Super Bowls when I was in elementary school. I was a little kid, so, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's harder, you know, to pay attention. But, you know, when I got into middle school, probably James Harrison. Big Ben's always up there. But, as a guy who loves defense, like, now especially, like, towards the end of his career, Cam Hayward. I got his jersey award the other night. He's the man. Yeah, and he's doing it at, 35 or however. He's old.
Yeah, he is old.
He's still balling out. And then TJ Watt for sure now, I would say. And I don't know if he's up there for number one all the time, but TJ Watt's the man. I remember watching him get drafted. I stayed up and was watching the draft, and I remember picking TJ Watt, and I was like, oh, JJ Watt's brother, he might be all right. And then he's best player in the NFL, if you ask me. But so I think James Harrison, Cam Hayward, TJ Watt, top three rotating, and then Big Ben's definitely up there.
Hey, maybe Russ, if he wins you a chip, can maybe squeeze his way in there.
He might work his way in there. He might work his way in there. We're also paying him like only $1 million.
I know.
Compared to everyone else, it's ridiculous.
It's crazy. So now we'll get into the quote of the episode. For those that don't know, I'll kind of say a quote from like a famous athlete or coach. Mike will talk about what this quote means to him, and then he'll say a quote that he lives by every single day. So this quote is from Russell Wilson. Chose this. He's been balling out. So this quote by him says, I truly believe in positive synergy, that your positive mindset gives you a more hopeful outlook, and belief that you can do something great means you will do something great.
I really like that. I think it kind of goes along the same lines, like just have a positive attitude, because there's way more like dreams and ambitions that have been just killed by doubt than actual failure. And so just having like a positive mindset, especially like you can look at the situation he came out of in Denver. They basically shipped him off and completely gave up on him. Comes to Pittsburgh, sits the first two games because of injury, and comes in and plays great football. And just in general, like in life, you're going to get beat down a little bit, but if you have that positive mindset, you'll push through it. So
yeah.
And then I would say for a kind of quote or saying I live by, I'm going to credit this one to Yanni Volos. He actually told me it the other day. He told me about what his high school class president speech was. And it's called Chip in a Chair.
All right.
And it's like a poker analogy. About, you might be down on your luck, you might be getting beat up, you might be losing money, but all you need is a, a chair to sit on and a chip to play with, and you can make a comeback, you can do something great. And I think it's kind of a good analogy for life in terms of like, you're going to go through rough patches, you're going to go through hard times, but if you can just hang in there and keep doing your thing, you'll come out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. You just got to keep on going. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how beat down you are, you just got to keep on going and also stay positive, because I mean, kind of like what you said earlier, a lot of people, you don't know what they're going through in life, could be way worse than the situation that you're going through. So just staying humble, staying positive, and just keep on going and trying to make people's days better. It's really all that you could do.
Be positive. You do a good job of that. Every time I see you, hey, what's up, big guy? Can't be positive.
Yeah.
Bring people's days up.
Have to, bro.
That's what it's all about.
Have to. Well, hey, that'll do it for this episode. Mike, thank you again for hopping on the pod.
Thanks for having me.
It's really been an honor. I'm very glad that we got this finally like settled, man. I've been waiting to have you on, bro. But I mean, sorry I haven't posted in 3 weeks. School's was pretty rough, but finally done now. So I have a month off. So I'll be pushing out a ton of episodes. My goal on Tuesday, which I'll probably upload this, my goal is to get 3 other episodes out.
You got to get JT on an episode.
Yeah, hey, JT, if you're ever listening, come on, bro. but yeah, I mean, we have a lot of fun guests joining the show. I'm looking forward to it. Make sure you leave a like, comment, and subscribe. Share this with friends and family. And I'm looking forward to the episodes before Christmas. I'm sure we'll do a little Christmas special for you guys. And yeah, that'll be it. But Mike, thanks again, brother. And we'll see you later. Peace.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.